the Happiness Lab. In its own way, it just says so much, just those three words, and actually we're delighted to talk about this in terms of Lincoln Lights by discussing the matter of the Happiness Lab with the founder, the general originator, the all-round superlative individual who is Professor Roger Brotherton. Good morning, Roger.
Hello, good morning. How are you doing?
Delighted to touch base with good self. Now, we all like to be happy, we presume, unless you've got a misanthropic line on the whole system and somehow you kind of reverse the scenario. But this particular thing in terms of making an interactive multimedia course which offers insight, I mean, the NHS, all of these kind of things about, you know, how we as human beings are happy.
Yeah, that's right. And probably the first thing to say, I mean, I didn't originate the thing, so I'm a contributor. I'm part of a team of people who gave to this, and it was put together by a company called the Ugly Duckling Company, who effectively said it would be really good to have a very easily accessible course that actually drew on the science of what it means to be happy. So there's an enormous amount of science done over the last 15 years on what makes life worth living, meaningful, enjoyable, things like that. And so the course includes me, psychologists, psychiatrists, faith leaders, doctors, a couple of GPs in there. And so it's all about what do we know right now about how we can be happy and find well-being.
Looking over the 20th century, clearly dopamine is used in terms of those are the chemical stimulants that when we jog, for instance, that kind of fires off, etc. Timothy Leary, of course, had his line in terms of tune in, turn on, drop out. We wouldn't advocate that for all clear reasons. Over the centuries, people have always had different aspects. I mean, you know, from the philosophers of Socrates and Plato's time well, in terms of how do we get to happiness. David Cameron, dare I say it, was also talking about the big society and the happiness and so on. And yet, can you quantify it? Is it trying to quantify the qualitative? Are we into that challenge of saying we can actually, you know, say on a scale of 1 to 10, Likert scale, you're a 9 or a 3 or a 4, whatever?
Well, obviously, as a psychologist, I would say, yes, we can. Yes, we can measure it. And actually, interestingly, I mean, you mentioned David Cameron, but David Cameron was actually influenced by the very psychologists that this draws on, really. Oh. So people we would call positive psychologists. Yeah. And they've really been studying what are the habits, the practices, those kind of things that make things worth doing. And when the maths is done on happiness, what we seem to discover is about 50% of our overall sense of well-being is in our genes. So some people are just more cheerful than others at birth. That's the way it works. About 10% is our circumstances. So, relative poverty and things like that. But about 40% of it seems to be based on what our attitudes, our behaviors, our psychology. And so as a psychologist, that's the bit I'm really interested in, is what can we do with that 40% of our own practices that can actually lead to a level of happiness?
NLP is another three-letter acronym that often emerges and tends to polarize people. Yep. You know, you think neuro-linguistic programming, it's all new age material and so on. And yet, from one's own empirical observations, and I'm coming to it more as a kind of chemist and a biologist in terms of the background, if you actually have somebody who's constantly looking on the negative side, they tend to get more negative.
Correct, yes.
And vice versa, if they're being positive, even though you might sort of think, is that a Pollyanna syndrome? Are you into that system, as you said, in the genes? Then actually, in some way, shape or form, there's a connection that works there. Yeah. Unless, of course, they're lying and they're actually externally, everything's fine. Inside, they're bleeding to bits, basically. but is that also something which, again, in terms of our human nature, impacts into this Happiness Lab?
Yeah. So one of the things that the Happiness Lab does over 6 weeks, effectively, it's six sessions, it's multimedia, it's that side of things, and it picks up some of the science. So it talks about how, for example, grateful people, when we do research on gratitude and we get people doing gratitude diaries, their levels of well-being, happiness, physical exercise, health, even things like longevity are affected by things like gratitude, like kindness. For example, people who are more forgiving tend to suffer less from heart disease and things like that. And people who invest well in their relationships, that kind of social support, leads to all kinds of great outcomes, particularly reduces things like depression and anxiety and stuff like that. And physical exercise too. So, you know, if you're out there exercising, it's one of the best things you can possibly do. I mean, you talked about the dopamine hit. It's one of the best things you can possibly do around building things like discipline and perspective. And, you know, even a 15-minute brisk walk can be enough to significantly lift your mood.
Mm-hmm. So this is an interactive multimedia course that is being offered across the country. How are we going to compress that? How are you going to develop it for Lincoln Lights? What are we going to see? What's the average sort of story thinking? I quite fancy finding a bit more about the public-facing side of science and the university, etc. What are people going to see?
It's great. So for the for Lincoln Lights, what I'm going to do is I'm basically going to pick up my favourite bits, really, of the Happiness Lab. We'll show
digest.
We'll show some of the content, and we'll play with some of the ideas. So some of the exercises, like gratitude, like kindness, like forgiveness, things like that, can actually be presented pretty simply and pretty quickly. Show the science, have a play with it, see what people make of it. And the thing about this is, I mean, like a lot of things, happiness can't be forced. There's nothing worse than the idea of happiness being imposed on us. It's a very oppressive idea. So this will be an invitation. It's kind of come, have a go, see what you make of it, see what kind of fits, what doesn't fit. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be humorous. It'll be interactive. I'm quite happy to have people come and disagree with me, so you don't have to come and think it's all fantastic. So it's kind of just taking the basics of the Happiness Lab and taking that time to talk through them and look at them.
Culturally, are there differences that can be seen between, again, historically, America's often seen as a very positive pace, although, again, that's changed recently. Yeah. And equally, you've got the stiff upper lip that we manifest, obviously, in Britain, and then we shouldn't show our emotions and so on. Are those stereotypes that kind of emerged?
Some findings like that are a bit spurious. So you know how there's theories like Germans have no sense of humour and British people. Yeah, those kind of things. Well, those things appear not to be true. But there are some differences, for example, between America and Europe. One of them is when you measure hope across America and Europe, Americans seem to be very hopeful, can do, things will happen. There is a better future ahead of us. Europeans, not quite so much. but then if you take something like religiosity, for example, America tends to be much more religious than Europe is. And even in America, if you measure religion by sort of longitude, where are people in the country north to south, they get more religious as it goes more south. So there's kind of quite a few differences like that.
And that, presumably, Roger, is again another potential hot potato, because when you get into religiosity, are you talking about, well, the Western Christianized religions? Are we talking about Islamic faith? Are we talking about Buddhism, which many people say it's not a faith at all, it's a state of being and so on? Again, it's interesting how many people get very passionate about wellness, really. Say, no, our secret to happiness is this.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this kind of science is that it's taken from all of that. So it's really looked through all time, right back to Buddha, Jesus, Aristotle, all those kind of sources, and said, what are the unifying themes in all of this? So all of them, to some extent, talk about kindness, or they talk about compassion, they talk about hope, they talk about good social engagement with other people.
See, the flip side, if you tried it with Nietzsche, you'd have nihilism personified. That's
right.
I suppose is another form of happiness, but the reverse, the anti-happiness.
Well, the interesting thing with nihilism is, generally speaking, so for example, there's research done on nihilism where they stick people in a waiting room and they measure their degree of nihilism, and they see what they do in a waiting room. And the more nihilistic people are, the less exploratory behaviour they show just when left in a waiting room. So there is some science that what nihilism is good at is good at kind of being realistic. So it stops us having false hope. But as a consequence of that, it also shuts us down to genuine hope in terms of genuinely believing something good can happen.
And I'm mindful of the John Cleese line in Clockwise, it's the hope that kills you. He doesn't mind the despair, but it's the hope. That's the challenge.
That's right.
In terms of finding online material for folk who are listening to this and they're accessing it from different countries, different areas, wherever, where's the best place, or which websites would you recommend they should actually check out, Roger?
So the Ugly Duckling website actually has a great bit on the Happiness Lab. But actually, if you put the Happiness Lab into Google, just those words, you'll get the two Vimeo promos pop up. So you'll be able to see me talking about it. And there's also a lovely 1-minute promo on there that just gives you a sense of what it is. You can find out more. You can see the original pilot group of people who did it, so it's quite a nice presentation, and it'll give you everything you need from there.
Do you know, I feel we could actually always use these 10-minute podcasts as another way of making people happy. I just feel better already. Work our way through that. You come in expecting all sorts of things, and it's there, the Happiness
Lab.
There we go. It does work. Roger Bratherton, many thanks indeed.